Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And that music means we are continuing our rotation with members of the Hastings Ministerial Association. And we are so darn happy to have on the phone with us Pastor Neil Johnson. He is the pastor of River of Life Church in Hastings. And we can't wait to get caught up with him and to hear what's going on. Pastor Neil, how have you been?
Good, Mo. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here. And I am still co-pastor. Steve Schoenwald is still alive. He's still kicking. So, but he does only have a number of months left. So,
thank you for clarifying that on behalf of you and Pastor Steve. Anyway, welcome. Tell us how you have been. How are things at the River of Life Church?
Yeah, things at River of Life are moving right along. We have been, you know, dealing with the pandemic just as everybody else has. And, you know, it's been strange. There's certain aspects of our service that we, like, that we haven't done in over a year. And it's a little bizarre to even think about how we haven't done them. Like, we would have this walk-around time, just kind of a little extended greeting time with different people at church, where you get to, you know, introduce yourself to a visitor, or you get to, you know, shake hands, go get something to eat, and there is no eating taking place. I mean, we do have some coffee available, but and there's no handshaking, which, I mean, I love a good handshake, and I miss hugs. I really do miss hugs. So but we've been doing well with it, and just kind of facing the challenge head on and trying to navigate, knowing that, you know, every person has different opinions about masks, and everyone has, you know, different viewpoints of what the church should be doing. And so but the guiding light for us has been really been Romans 14, I would say, where it says, you know, those who, some should not look at others with judgment, and then the others should not look at some with contempt. Like, we should not look at each other differently because of different views, but understand and really follow what Jesus teaches about accepting one another, regardless of the extra grace that's required with different people.
Speaking of grace, we really need to embrace grace a lot. Yes. During this time of COVID, it's been kind of tough on a lot of people. And I know there's a lot of social unrest in the world, and now would be the time to really dig deep with that, wouldn't it?
Yes. I would say there's, you know, people that we interact with on a daily basis that we might disagree with, the EGRs, so to speak, the extra grace required people. I know every one of us has them to a degree, but, you know, working that grace into our normal lives, the Christian response, like how do we respond as faithful people? How do we respond in a biblical way to some of the unrest that's going on? When the killing of George Floyd first happened, I remember talking with our people, and a lot of people asking questions of, you know, how can I help? How can I pitch in? How can I, what can I do to help? And my first response, like, I sat and prayed about it and kind of, like, you know, went to scripture, but also thought about it a lot. And my first response was, I think it's important, especially for us in our cultural moment, but in our world, you know, like, we're a small suburb outside of St. Paul. We need to listen. And so that's one of the things that I encouraged our people. I gave our people four different things, because we have this prayer portion of our service. And the first one, I said, listen to different people's perspective. Spend more time listening than you are talking. And, you know, listen to, but don't just listen with your ears, listen with your eyes. So what I mean by that is, the Saturday after George Floyd's killing, I went into Minneapolis, and it was a strange sight to see this South Minneapolis, this place that I had grown so familiar with, I had been to hundreds of times, just turned into a war zone, turned into a place where Office Max is looted, you know, Subway, White Castle is looted, a Kmart. Well, the Kmart was closed, but just seeing all of these things, and I got to spend some time listening with my eyes, listening to how people are responding to what's happening. And then the second thing I encouraged our people to do is to serve. Find a way to serve. There's a lot of places, you know, like Hastings Family Service has different ways to serve, but there's also, you know, organizations in Minneapolis. One of the ones that I partnered with was Source. They just do phenomenal work helping people get back on their feet, helping the community effort in so many different ways. And there were Urban Ventures is another organization that our church partnered with to bring food, to bring, you know, different projects that we could go and help with and serve with. And then the last two things I encouraged our people with were to give. Like, we have been blessed in so many ways financially. We live in one of the richest nations in the world, and our dollar can go further with some of these organizations. So giving and finding different ways that we can give that will give maximum impact for some of these restoration efforts. And then the last one was pray. And so I encouraged our people to pray. Pray regularly, petition, not just throw up one prayer here and there, but petition the Lord that he would bring about justice. Petition God, come back to him again and again, and ask him to bring peace, to bring justice, and to bring resolution to our local city that is hurting. And, you know, it's no question that there is a definite pessimism that's going on. There's a pessimism that we see, I mean, on the news, pessimism that we see in a lot of different sources. I think even it's kind of ironic looking at the week of Easter, is if we understand Easter for what it really is, if we understand the resurrection and that brings about justice between God and man, then it gives us an optimism for the arc of human history, where the arc of human history bends towards justice, that every wrong will be made right. And that's the value of Christian hope. So I know I just hit on a lot of things there, but but those are the main four, is that I encourage people to listen, to serve, to give, and then pray.
And when you say that the news is pessimistic, what does that actually mean to you?
I would say bringing down, so to speak, of you. It feels like, if you, I'm sure you have experienced this where you either see the newspaper or you see something. I mean, even the mass shooting that happened in Colorado, just heartbreaking. 10 people lost their lives, and just the sadness that comes with that. There's so many things that when we engage the news, it feels like it's a weight on our shoulders, and we bear those burdens, and we need hope. We really do need hope, and this world needs hope so much.
Don't you think, though, it is good to really know what the news is instead of, you know, being oblivious and maybe getting your news from Facebook or something instead, where it's not necessarily what is really going on in the world? I think the world is a tough place, and I think it's good for us to see the brokenness of it.
Yes, it is important. I completely agree with you that we don't want to sidestep. I know there's a phrase in some Christian circles that we don't want to be too heavenly minded for any earthly good, right? I'm sure you've probably heard that before. And that means that we don't be hermits And there's another phrase that I have embraced to a sense, is that we are, the Christian life is sorrowful. So we feel sorrow. We see the things that happen in the world. We see the brokenness, but we always come back to rejoicing. We always rejoice because there is a hope that is beyond this life. There is a hope for tomorrow that we have in Christ.
Pastor Neil, if somebody's listening perhaps and wants to so believe all the wonderful things you're saying, but it's been a while since they've been at church, or it's been a while since they've formally prayed, what can you say to them?
Yeah, I would encourage them to start somewhere. I would say out of those four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is probably the easiest to understand, to grasp who Jesus is. Start somewhere. Start with prayer. One of the things we've been doing as a church is we do some Bible studies, but we also have Bible studies in triplets, where we have this women's ministry called Flourish, where groups of three women get together and read the Bible. If you're looking to get back into it, I would encourage you, download the Bible app. Start somewhere. Download the Bible app. Start a reading plan. And one of the cool things about the Bible app is that you can, I think it's called the YouVersion Bible app. You can find other people that you know that are on that app, and you can invite them to study the Bible together, where you can leave notes, you can do things like that. But also start somewhere. Just find a service that you're willing to show up once. You know, just one of the hardest steps that some people can take is going back or trying out something new, trying out something uncomfortable, just coming and experiencing a service. What I would encourage those that feel like they're on the fringe is find a way to take one step forward. Take one step forward. And it could be in prayer, it could be in Bible reading, it could be in accountability, it could be in attending a service. Yeah, that would be my encouragement. Just pour out your heart to Him. And the crazy thing is, before Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer, which you can use different models, like the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, you know, many people know that prayer. But before that, Jesus says, pray knowing that God knows your needs before you even voice them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not informing Him of anything that He doesn't know already, but you are showing dependence. You are just talking to Him. Like, God, I really, really need your help. A couple weeks ago, we started a new series on Nehemiah. And if you want to check out his prayer, it's phenomenal in Nehemiah 1. It is this beautiful exposition of like robust theology of God. But there's a few things that are a part of it that Nehemiah is banking on the promises of God. He's holding God to His promises. He says, you promised that you promised to Moses, you promised to your people that you would fulfill your covenants. I would encourage, you know, check that out. And one of the things that we can do also is pray Scripture. Like, Scripture gives us a lot of different models for how to pray, and just asking God that He would change our hearts to be more like Him and to grow in His truth.
I like how you said that the Lord already knows what we're going to tell Him, but it's still sometimes fun to tell Him. Sometimes I have such great news that I want to share, or I want to be so grateful and say thank you for something. And it is like talking to a good friend.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, where, you know, one of the best things that we can do is just pour out our heart to Him and say, God, I'm really struggling with this thing. I'm really feeling this right now. And yes, He knows, but it expresses a sense of dependency that's one of the things about Nehemiah's prayer, is he's pleading God. The narrative arc of the book of Nehemiah is basically the rebuilding of the wall. So the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, 400 BC. And he essentially in that prayer says, God, if you don't move, nothing's going to happen. And I think that's the beautiful thing about Nehemiah's prayer, is that there is an utter dependency where if you're struggling with a person, if you're struggling with an event, it could be a past event, something that you can't, that is completely out of your control. It could be something that you're walking through a difficult season, even right now. But looking to God with dependency and saying, God, if you don't move, nothing's going to happen. I think that is, that was a takeaway for me from that message. It's amazing how, you know, even sometimes when I'm preaching, I'm like, whew, I'm learning this. So it's good.
It all is good. God is good. Pastor Neil Johnson, tell us about River of Life Church and how we can worship with you, please.
Yeah, River of Life Church, we are located just off of 8th Street. We're across 61 from Dunbro's and Green Mill. But join us for our Sunday service. We have one service on Sunday at 10:30 for Easter Sunday, but every other week we have a Saturday night service. And one of the nice things about our Saturday night service is if you're looking to go to church but you're looking for low exposure, we have about 15 to 20 people that come to that service. And it's the same great message. We have an awesome band for that Saturday night service. But it's a little bit lower exposure than our Sunday morning in terms of just the sheer number of people. But, yeah, worship with us. Join us on Sunday morning. We have Discovery Land, our children's ministry, which is just a dynamic, wonderful ministry that's geared towards elementary age kids. We also have youth group on Wednesday nights, starting at 6, and hangout starts at 6, and then youth group starts at 6:30, and we also have Awana on Wednesday nights. So if you're looking for an Awana club and you want to join in, we're always taking on new people for Awana, and it's a great time to memorize some scripture, have some fun with friends, but also learn a great Bible lesson for kids, meeting them on their level. That's what I love about Awana, is it meets every kid on their level with biblical truth.
Thank you so much, Pastor Neil Johnson of River of Life Church, and we are grateful that you took the time to chat with us today. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
To pray.